Hi, this is David. If you've ever thought about starting a small business, it seems like the to-do list is never-ending. But Shopify simplifies a lot of it. They're the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world, and 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., from household names like Mattel and Gymshark to brands just getting started. Shopify has hundreds of ready-to-use templates that help you build a beautiful online store to match your brand's style. And they are packed with helpful AI tools that write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography. It's like you have a full marketing team behind you. You'll easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. And best yet, Shopify has world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory and international shipping to processing returns and beyond. If you're ready to sell, you're ready for Shopify. Turn your big business idea into with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/inspirational. Go to shopify.com/inspirational. shopify.com/inspirational. Welcome to Our Sunday Talks, an exclusive series for the patrons of the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's talk was edited and adapted from The Way to a Blessed Life, edited and adapted from a lecture by Swami Abhidananda, published in 1900. In the whole animal kingdom, human beings alone are capable of solving the problem of life. Other animals live, but they cannot ask what life is, nor can they understand its purpose, or the source from which it proceeds. Human beings alone are endowed with intelligence enough to ask such questions. They alone can understand the purpose and aim of life, can trace its source and know the various aspects through which the life principle manifests itself in this world of phenomena. From time immemorial, this problem of life has been discussed over and over again, and various conclusions have been arrived at by different philosophers and thinkers of all ages and all climes. Some say that life is a great blessing, that it is the source of unbounded joy and happiness, that it is blessedness itself, while others hold that life is not worth living because it is full of misery, sorrow and suffering, disease and pain, and its end is death. It is true that our earthly life is beset with misfortune, distress, pain, anxiety, and disease, as well as various other sufferings which arise from the constant struggle for existence. Yet none but superficial thinkers will maintain that life is not worth living, or that death is its goal. When we understand the true meaning of life, we know that life is opposed to death, as light is opposed to darkness. Life, in its most abstract sense, means being, and death means non-being or non-existence. Where life is, death cannot exist. If life be a reality, then what we call death must be unreal. That which lives or exists can never die or become non-existent, and that which does not live in any form whatever can never become existent. Existence can never become non-existence, and non-existence can never become existence. This is the law of nature, whatever exists will continue to exist. As life or being is deathless and indestructible, so it is birthless and beginningless. That which is subject to death is a compound thing and has a beginning, but that which does not die is simple and therefore has no birth and no destruction. There is no sorrow, suffering, misery, decay, death, or change of any kind in true life. Therefore it is blessed. It is blessedness itself. True life is that eternal, self-existent power which animates all things and is the source of all activity and of all living forms. That power which manifests in the animal and vegetable kingdoms as well as in us. From the minutest protoplasm up to the highest individual, wherever there is any sign of life, there is the expression of this all-pervading eternal power, which is unchangeable and one in its essence. Electricity is one universal inscrutable force, but on account of the various ways in which it is made manifest, through different machines and technology, it appears in many forms, as heat, as light, or as motion. So it is with the universal mysterious life force. It is one, although appearing many when manifesting through the numberless forms of existence. We may therefore say that true life is one in essence, but its apparent expressions are numberless. Our earthly lives are so many expressions of the true or real life, which is blessedness, which is one and eternal. Life being real, its apparent expressions must be the expressions of reality too. These expressions are what we call apparent life. They are like so many reflections of the true being of the universe. Our apparent or earthly life is nothing but a symbol of the eternal life principle, conditioned by time and space. True life or being or blessedness is beyond time and space and is not bound by conditions of any kind. It is not subject to the laws of phenomena. It is independent and perfect, while the apparent life is dependent upon the laws which govern the world of phenomena and is conditioned by time and space. True life or real being does not need any help from outside. It does not require anything from beyond itself. It is self-reliant, self-complete, self-sufficient, and self-loving. While the apparent life, being an imperfect reflection of the true life, depends upon the conditions of the environment and represents imperfectly those higher qualities of self-reliance, self-completeness, self-sufficiency, self-love, and independence which make true life a blessed and a perfect whole. When the apparent life separates itself from the true being and isolates itself from the life of the universe, the partial reflections of these higher qualities in the apparent life are then known as selfishness. If we examine the relation of this apparent life to the real life, we understand that it is nothing but a part of that universal life. As a part is related to the whole and cannot live independently of the whole, as a ray of light or a reflection is related to the sun and cannot exist independently of the sun, so the apparent life is related to that true being which is called blessedness and cannot exist independently. Like true life, this apparent life possesses self-love, but unlike the self-love which is in the true life, it is a love of the particular and not of the whole. True life or being loves itself or the whole, and as that whole is God, its love is divine. It lives in God and loves God. The self-love in the apparent life is love of a part alone, as separated from other parts, as isolated from the whole or God. Therefore, it is selfishness. The apparent self-love is nothing but an attachment to the transitory conditions through which the life eternal expresses itself on the physical plane. True life loves nothing but one unchangeable reality, while the apparent life loves the changeable personality, which is identified with the non-eternal form. On account of this attachment to constantly changing conditions, this apparent life, or the individual ego, is subject to the changes of birth and death, is a slave to its conditions, and is sorrowful, miserable, restless, unhappy, and consequently unblessed. The apparent life or the ego appears as unblessed because the conditions through which the true universal life manifests are limited and imperfect. Unblessedness consists in the idea of the separateness of the part from the whole, and in the bondages of other imperfections arising from this mistaken notion of individual isolation. To be united to the whole, to be free from the bondages of these imperfections, and to be perfect is blessedness. As we approach near and near perfection by passing through the various stages of physical, mental, and intellectual evolution, the ways of our living become better, and by experience we learn that the best way of true living is not by obeying the dictates of the apparent life or lower self, but by following the blessed will of the universal being or true life. We start at first with a little, weak, and dim ray of will, which gradually becomes wider and stronger and brighter as we ascend through the different grades of spiritual evolution. Experience teaches us the relation which exists between the individual will and the will that governs the universe. When we realize the true relation of the individual will to the universal will, then we find that the life, or will, which we have so long called ours, is not ours, but is simply a part and parcel of that one life, or one will, which moves the universe. Our bodies are like so many little instruments through which the universal life principle is expressing itself on the plane of phenomena. The mind, will, and life of one individual are not entirely separate from those of another, but they are connected with all mind, all will, and all life by an invisible current of reality which is one and indivisible. As long as we do not realize this, but on the contrary, think of ourselves as separate from one another and as not related to the universe, so long shall we follow the dictates of our limited and imperfect will, and think that by doing so, we shall gain the highest benefit. The result, however, is that we make mistakes at every step, and these mistakes cause us to feel dissatisfied, unhappy, and sorrowful. We do not gain what we wanted, nor do we reach the goal for which we started. This idea of separateness, this mistaken notion, makes the apparent life or ego think that it is free and independent, while in fact it is bound hand and foot like a slave. The moment we realize our relation to the whole, we are no longer bound by any conditions of selfishness, but we are free.